This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, we got 30 seconds. It's like New Year's. In 30 seconds, the new league year begins in the National Football League. That means it's really 2025. This has all been 2024, and all those rumored free agent signings that you've heard about in the last 36 hours, that becomes real in just 15 seconds. And also, you know what also happens in 10 seconds?
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers' ass is really going to start to feel the heat. So let's count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I believe in the Giants.
Happy League New Year!
And Aaron Rodgers is going to do nothing at all. In fact, the Giants and the Steelers and maybe even the Minnesota Vikings have no idea what his timeline is. He has not communicated with them. This is according to Schefter, correct? Right, Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter was just on TV.
He just was on TV. Nobody knows what the hell is going on with there.
Welcome to the Aaron Rodgers Vortex, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm moving on.
You done?
I'm done.
Really?
Not dead to me, but I'm just done.
Yeah, dead to me is harsh. We save that for free agents who leave.
I'm not anticipating it anymore.
Well, why don't you have some patience? The league year began 40 seconds ago.
Because I don't have patience.
And the Steelers have signed a Jet.
Who's that?
Brandon Echols.
Oh, Brandon Echols. There you go. Not quite the Jet you're waiting for. Listen, I understand that waiting is the hardest part.
Yes.
I do. We were certainly a part of that as Jet fans. But as of right now, Aaron Rodgers is not holding you up from doing something else. He's your clear number one option.
Well, yeah.
Now that you didn't get Matthew Stafford.
He is holding you up if you're looking for a veteran backup.
Yeah, but the veteran backup that you're probably going to pivot to is also going to wait for Aaron Rodgers, and his name is Russell Wilson. Like, I don't think he's signing somewhere else in the meantime.
We do have something on Russell Wilson. This is from Tom Pelissero. Russell Wilson is expected to visit the Browns this week.
I was going to say.
So that just broke.
I don't know if Russell Wilson is the Giants' number two.
Interesting. Really? You don't think that?
I'm not convinced that it is.
What do you think their number two is if they don't get Rodgers?
Some guy to hold a clipboard.
Like Carson Wentz?
Probably not even.
Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, probably.
Bringing back Drew Locke.
Mariota just signed with Washington.
Okay, so not Marcus Mariota.
What about Joseph Aloysius Flacco?
That
was out there from Paul Schwartz today.
Yes, it was.
I guess, but he just seems...
It's Minshew for me, man. But everybody's made compared to Rodgers.
Whoever it is, it's somebody else.
But that's my point on why you wait and you deal with this vortex, because... All those other guys you mentioned, they're very different to me. Those are the guys that you sign. They're veterans. They may play for a little bit, but the idea is you're going to draft a quarterback that's going to eventually start.
Yeah.
In the case of Aaron Rodgers, while you're still drafting a young quarterback who may eventually start, Aaron's giving you that chance to win, like a real chance to win a handful of games. And so I get that waiting is the hardest part, but just wait. See this through and see what Aaron does.
You know who I want? Cooper Rush.
Adam Schefter 1 minute ago. Free agent quarterback Russell Wilson is scheduled to fly tonight to Cleveland to visit with the Browns on Thursday, before being scheduled to fly to New York on Thursday night to visit Friday with the New York Giants.
Wow, so there it is. He is your backup plan.
Huh. But you know what that shows you? If they're meeting with him on Friday, you said, Russell Wilson?
Correct.
The Giants know this is our backup plan. Yeah. We'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron signs, we cancel the meeting. And if he doesn't sign, we're doing our due diligence on what is our clear backup plan. Because to me, he is, because Wilson is Rodgers in terms of gives me a chance to win some games in the short term while developing a young quarterback. And that is the Giants' plan in my eyes, because that's what basically John Mara said at the end of last season. I better be in a better mood. And I think the way you put him in a better mood is win some games and give me some hope for the future.
I wonder if there's a part of them that hopes he never leaves Cleveland, taking Cleveland out of taking a quarterback too. I know everybody's down on
what?
Because oh, I hear you.
Instead of
I actually hope that happens.
And basically eliminate Cleveland.
So he's their problem.
Right.
Because I'm just, he wasn't good last year. I know everybody thinks that the Steelers won the, got in the postseason. They won 10 games last season. It was because of Russell. It wasn't because of Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. It was because their defense was really solid and they're well coached and they found ways to win games. And, you know, Russ made some plays here and there, but like, when your EPA is negative, something's wrong.
But do you think, despite him being potentially washed,
right,
do you still look at him after Rodgers as the best option in terms of winning games in the short term? Because who would be ahead of him if it's not him? Like, who would it be?
I just worry about what the team looks like with him at the head.
If it's that bad, they bench him.
Possibly, but then you're in a bad situation. You brought him in there to be a winner, and you're going to bench him?
Well, but you brought him in to bridge until whoever you draft is ready. Now, obviously, you'd like the kid to be ready. You don't want to rush him because Russell Wilson is washed.
Right.
But all I'm asking you is, even if you think Russ is clearly not the guy he was 5 years ago, isn't he still the second best winning option after Rodgers?
This will be his fourth team in 4 years. What are we talking about?
But who's a better option? That's my point. Compare it to the guys that are out there.
Whoever you draft, to be honest with you.
But you're going to draft a guy either way.
I understand that.
Oh, so you're saying draft a guy, don't waste your time with this guy.
That's what I was saying about the Giants with Cleveland signing him. Then no matter what, they know they're getting a quarterback at three, even if it's Shedeur Sanders.
Because if the Browns sign Russell Wilson, they're not drafting a quarterback at two?
They just traded for Kenny Pickett. And they have Deshaun Watson. How many quarterbacks have they on the roster?
But I think you're safe anyway. Like, honestly, I think the Browns are not drafting a quarterback.
They're waiting until next year.
Yeah, I think that's become clear. I think the Pickett trade probably contributed to it. Mm-hmm. Also, they're stuck with Deshaun Watson as much as they may not want to be.
They can't get off of that. I mean, they lessen the financial blow by giving him some sort of rework or whatever that went on, but it just gives him a easier way to release him sooner.
Right. I think the Browns are showing you, because like, think about it this way. This is why I think your opinion is, it's too simplistic. You think the Cleveland Browns' determination on what they're going to do with two is based on a meeting with a washed-up Russell Wilson? No. I think they clearly have a plan where they're not drafting a quarterback at two. So whether they get Russell Wilson or not, I don't think that's going to change their plan. I think the good news for you, and it is good news, it's also good news for me as a Jet fan if I'm hoping for a quarterback to drop, which is certainly possible, is that the Browns are giving us the indication that they're not drafting a quarterback at two. And it doesn't feel like they are. And what's crazy about all this is between the Browns giving us the indication they're not drafting a quarterback at two, and Tennessee clearly being open for business of trading the number one pick, and the Raiders bringing in Geno Smith as they pick at six, you're starting to see an avenue to where Shedeur Sanders likely just drops.
Right.
And
right.
It isn't just...
And people predicted that he could drop.
But
part of it's because they're not completely sold on his ability to be really good right away, but also... some teams aren't going to need quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, the Raiders, I think, are one of them, because the more I think about it with the Raiders, like, I don't think they're drafting. I think they look at Geno and say, that's our guy for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I don't think they're taking a quarterback.
34 Geno is, so 35, whatever his age is, it doesn't feel like he's washed. He had a really good season 2 years ago. It was okay last year. It took a step back. Obviously, there were some issues going on with the new staff, but I don't think he's done in 2 years.
Geno Smith. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's what the Raiders are thinking.
Right.
Very important question before we get to your phone calls. We've got a juicy Knicks story to approach here in this 4 o'clock hour. You're done with Aaron Rodgers. I just want this on the record. You're done.
I'm done pining for Aaron Rodgers.
You're done pining for him?
Yes.
Okay. Sean, are you done with him yet?
I'm ready for whatever the other option is.
Okay. You done with him?
Oh, he's dead to me.
He's dead to you.
Never wanted him to begin with.
That's not true. Don't rewrite history.
Nope, never wanted him. Glad he's gone. Let's go.
Are you done with him, Tommy?
No, I'm willing to be as patient as humanly possible for Aaron Rodgers.
Smart
to me,
boy.
He's clearly number one. I'm not going to rush to the window to sign Russell Wilson. If Aaron Rodgers waits for 4 weeks, even if he does another darkness retreat, and we don't end up with him, I'm cool with Jameis Winston. I'm cool with drafting a rookie quarterback. That's fine with
me. You know what I love about you,
Tommy?
I don't
want to panic here.
I love the fact that you went from anybody but Rodgers to, you know what? I'll wait forever for Aaron Rodgers.
Jeez.
And to honor that, cue it up real quick, because I think the Giant fans need this in this moment of need. As we wait for the Aaron Rodgers decision, we present to you a new hit song produced by a random WFAN caller, simply called...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We love you, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, my heart's in a twist. Aaron Rodgers, you top my wish list. The Giants are calling, we're down on our knees. Pittsburgh's a dump, won't you save us, please? Aaron Rodgers, your magic, a star in the night. The Giants need you to make everything right. Screw the Jets and all their drama, here on the other side. We are the Giants, and it couldn't get worse.
We love you, Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Where's my tall boy and a shot of whiskey?
I didn't think it was possible for someone to get played out if they're only being played a second time.
Oh, stop it.
Don't be bitter.
Right, it was worse the second time.
Probably. That's what she said. Let's go to Connor in Goshen. How are you, Connor?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Big fan of you guys. Also a huge Giants fan.
Thank you, man.
Obviously, we're waiting for, obviously, the decision, Rogers. But listen, I'm with Tommy. I'd rather wait and see the decision of him. But the next option, which I think I agree with you, Tiki, from the other day when I was listening to you guys, was I kind of agree, and I was talking to guys at work. What do you guys think about obviously trying to get Joe Milton,
right?
And then obviously still continue in the draft by getting maybe obviously a Jackson Dart with that.
And the only challenge, Connor, and it's exciting to think of that. The challenge is you have a third year, not very traveled, exclusive rights free agent in Tommy DeVito. You have a sixth round draft pick who fell way down the board in Joe Milton, and he looked great against basically the practice squad of the Buffalo Bills in week 18. And then you have a rookie quarterback. It's not an exciting room.
Well, forget exciting. They need to win games.
Or capable room is more aptly put.
Well, yeah, and they need to win games. Look, right. The owner said it, and this is a weird circumstance that we're talking about with the Giants, but I think the reason we're talking about it is because we're following what the owner of the team said after the season was over, which is you better win some freaking games.
And that seems like there are going to be some obstacles to winning games.
Well, and that's why there's such an interest in Aaron Rodgers followed by Russell Wilson. Now, you bring up good points about Russ, in which it's, hey, the guy sucks. And that's essentially what you're saying, right?
I mean, he doesn't suck because he wins games, but I don't see it.
So that means he sucks. Am I confused?
I refuse to say people who play this game suck.
Oh, it was too harsh?
It's harsh.
Speaking of playing this game,
I just don't think that he has that it anymore.
Speaking of playing this game, I've got to play something for Tiki that I've been thinking about all day long. Because as you know, I'm a very avid listener to not only WFAN, but specifically the warm-up show. It's actually become, I think I have to admit, my favorite show on radio. I'm a huge fan of Al. I think he's incredibly talented, and he brings up very interesting
witty.
Points.
He is very witty.
Are you about to hear the point he made this morning that I need to play for you?
Yeah, let's.
It's about Daniel Jones. So Al doesn't think Daniel Jones is any good. So he had a theory about Daniel Jones, and I would love for you to take a listen and give me your opinion on Al Dukes' theory.
I can't wait.
If I had to get a first down, that's it. I had to get a first down in an NFL game.
First down. Okay.
And you said, here are your options. It's 2025. You could have Daniel Jones behind a really good offensive line. Or Boomer Esiason at 63 years old.
Oh, come on.
I swear to you, it's not a straight-up Daniel Jones. It's not.
Oh,
I
went, One play?
It was pretty, no, you got to get a first down. So maybe it takes you three plays.
Okay, so you got one series.
One series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying no to Boomer immediately. Because I know Boomer can't take a hit and Boomer can't run. But my guess is Boomer could get a ball to a wide receiver better than Daniel Jones right now.
What do you think?
I don't think that's the case. I love Boomer, but I mean, when was the last time Boomer threw an actual football?
He could throw a football.
And football pads.
I don't know, but
he threw football pressure.
He threw a football at me a couple years ago, and it almost broke my hands. Like, it really hurt. He's got a freaking, like, you don't lose that arm.
I understand. Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of these guys do, actually. It's just their shoulders are shot.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Boomer's is. Probably not, because they didn't throw as hard or as frequently back then.
Oh.
But I just wonder. I wonder if Boomer could take a snap with full pads, with today's pass rushers, with the craziness of the game, and get a first down.
So you're saying Al's wrong?
I know that Daniel Jones could, even if he had to run three times.
Right.
Four times.
Right.
He'd get the first down.
So you're saying Al's crazy?
Yeah, I think Al's
crazy.
Okay,
fair enough. These are the observations you get at 5 o'clock in
the morning.
I think
he's crazy.
Now, I have an observation. Mm. If I put Tiki Barber in full pads behind the Eagles' offensive line this season, how many yards do you rush for this year?
Good number.
How about
2,000.
2000.
Not, I said not 2000.
Oh, I thought you said 2000.
No.
I was like, damn.
I'd be all right.
And the Eagles still win the Super Bowl.
And then guess what? Tiki's dead to us. It all comes full circle. Let's go to Steve in Norwalk. What's up, Steve?
Hi, I'm a big fan of you guys, and I've been a Giant fan since my first game in 1960 at Yankee Stadium.
Wow.
And even though I'm old, I'm not old-fashioned, but I love my Giants. And I wanted to know, Kiki, have you evaluated Joe Milton? I heard what you said to the earlier caller about against the practice team, et cetera, but right. Have you looked at his tape and compared him to Cam Ward?
Well, I didn't watch him in college at Tennessee. They had the program got weird down there, but I watched his one game last year. In fact, that's why I got on this, because I don't know why we were talking about the Patriots and the Bill. Oh, maybe because of the playoffs. I think we were just looking at the Bills going into the playoffs. And so I watched that last game just to be prepared. And Joe Milton looked really good, right? He looked calm. He looked composed. He's big and threw every ball, has a cannon for an arm. Confidently made decisions, and they won a game, right? And so, like, I don't know what that translates into come a full season, but he's got all the tools, right? And I know he can grind at it. Whereas you look at a guy who's also like him, and I said this yesterday with Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson didn't want to grind at it. Same kind of kid, big, strong, cannon for an arm, athlete, but he didn't want to grind at it. And so, there's something to that, but I don't know if that's starting quarterback worthy in the NFL right now.
Joe Milton, congratulations to the Milton family, to the Milton household. He has now become one of the most popular personalities.
Right. After one game.
That no one knows about on sports talk radio.
Right.
He is now the new Wally Backman of managing. Mm. Now, we knew who Wally Backman was, but no one ever watched him manage. And it was like, Wally Backman has to manage the Mets. Joe Milton has to quarterback the Giants based on most people not even watching that game.
Oh, you're right.
Or if they did watch the game, it's the only game they've ever seen him play. With that said, there is truth to the fact he's available, but I brought this up before. When the Giants did offseason hard knocks, they had some things come out. Obviously, the John Maraline is very famous, Joe Shane's behind-the-scenes work, but there was a draft board that was on the TV screen, and the draft board revealed a lot of opinions that the Giants had on who ended up getting drafted, and in the case of Joe Milton, they viewed him as someone who should change positions.
Right.
So I don't know if over the past year in New England and the one game he played against Buffalo has caused Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to think that differently about the way they view Joe Milton.
Well, I think the reason, if I want to defend the Giants and their decision on that, is that if he was available for them late sixth round or seventh round, their quarterback room was already set. So if they were going to take Joe Milton, it would not have been as a quarterback.
So it may not have been about him, more about if we pick him, this is how we use him.
Danny DeVito, or Tommy DeVito was there, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke. It just wouldn't have made sense. I think they had someone else on their practice squad early in the season already. Now, you could easily just release that kid, but it wouldn't have made sense to draft him and put him in their quarterback room, because he wouldn't have ever got an opportunity to play. So if they were going to draft him, he would have had to change positions.
We also don't know for sure that that's what that means, Evan. I need to clarify that, because the second time you said
it. The color code said either undrafted free agent or change positions.
The color code is just yellow. We don't have what the yellow means. That's what everybody started to speculate on it. I just want to make that very clear. What it also could mean is yellow, gold jacket, Hall of Famer.
You think that's what they said?
I mean, alternate reality.
Imagine that. We have him drafted as a future Hall of Famer, but we'll pass on him five times. Let's go to Kenny in Deer Park. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Good. I got two questions. One for Evan and one for Tiki. The first one for Evan. Evan, are you going to be mad at Jet that you got to have this conversation at the age of 8 with him, and your dad had it at the age of 24 with you?
For those that are just tuning in, I realized that my son wanted to get home and Google what two numbers next to each other actually mean. Mm. And those two numbers are usually something of the sexual nature. And I was like, damn, I got to intercept him before he goes on the internet and explain what the hell is going on.
Yep.
But anyhow, yes, I've got to figure that whole situation out, Kenny. Yes.
And then Kiki, I love listening to you talk about football and the cap. Wouldn't it have been easier for the Jets just to keep Aaron Rodgers with this dead cap money?
No, the reason, Kenny, is because he had another bonus in his contract that if he was on the team at the start of the league year, that dead number, which is now 49, would have been 63.
Mm.
So, yeah, they could have played him this year, and who knows what would have happened. But you didn't put another, whatever that is, $15, $14 million on your cap. It didn't make sense.
What the Jets ended up doing with Aaron Rodgers is, in the short term, in the moment, their chances of winning next year are worse than if they brought back Aaron Rodgers, despite his age,
yes,
and despite the questions about him. I stand by that opinion. I think most Jet fans would agree with that opinion. The Jets' chances of succeeding win-loss-wise in 2025 are a little bit lower with the Justin Fields rookie Tyrod Taylor trifecta than Aaron Rodgers. But they have better positioned themselves for the future.
Yes.
A, they get a year to evaluate Justin Fields and, dare I say, actually turn him into the starting caliber winning quarterback that everybody thought he was coming out of Ohio State. And B, they're in a better position to draft a quarterback and maybe develop that guy. And the cap situation, which we just explained. So it's tough because, like, I get the perspective of the older Jet fan, like Joe B,
mm-hmm,
who basically says, I don't know how long,
right,
I'm going to be here.
Right, I want to win now.
I want to win. I'm not waiting around. I totally get it. But you also want to look big picture. And I think that the Rodgers decision is more of a big picture move than a small, in-the-moment move.
Right. I think you're right. They thought about it because they released him post-June 1, which makes this a two-year thing as opposed to a one-year thing. And, I mean, I don't know if they're saying we're kicking this down the line, but even if they are, they have the luxury to do that.
They can. We'll get back to your phone calls. By the way, has Aaron Rodgers signed yet, Sean?
He has not.
He has not.
I believe in the Giants.
All right.
I think we're bleeding into the weekend.
I think so, too. We'll get back to your phone calls. Plus, have you ever heard the term, I'm sure you have, minutes police? Have you guys heard that?
Yes.
About Tom Thibodeau in the New York Knicks?
Yes.
What have I told you? There is someone on the inside of the New York Knicks who works for the minutes police.
Hmm.
It's an inside job.
Hmm.
Who on the New York Knicks is working on the inside and also simultaneously for the minutes police? We reveal the person and we find out more about a interesting situation around the New York Knicks. We're now a half hour into the new league year. Aaron Rodgers is still a free agent, but we do have this little piece of information, Tiki. You ready for this?
Let's hear
from
it.
From Diana Russini, who Aaron Rodgers has said over and over again knows nothing about him. But I'll read the tweet anyway, because I think she is a good reporter. Vikings decision makers are still evaluating their options at quarterback, including the possibility of signing Aaron Rodgers. The four-time MVP is intrigued by the idea of playing in Minnesota. For now, it's a waiting game.
Mm.
That's what Diana tweets. Now, I wonder what the waiting game is about, because if Aaron Rodgers is deciding between the Steelers and the Giants and you're the Vikings, what are you waiting for?
Well,
either you're interested or you're not.
Well, maybe that's what's holding up Aaron Rodgers, is that he likes the Steelers and maybe he likes the Giants, but he'd prefer to go to a place with a head coach who's of that Kyle Shanahan tree,
mm-hmm,
has done well with quarterbacks. Not that he needs development, but it is nice to collaborate with a QB guru, so to speak. And Minnesota's in a place to win.
Minnesota, if you forget the Favre stuff, which I can't do personally, but if you forget the Favre stuff, if you forget the rivaling with the Packers again stuff, if you just look at the coach, like you just said,
mm-hmm,
the roster, the receivers, the conference in general is the best place for him. Okay?
Right.
I will agree with that.
Right.
But
I mean, they were 14-3 last year.
With Sam Darnold. Until exactly.
Sam had a great year.
Until the end.
Until the last two games.
Irrationally, and I know this is irrational, I'm being just perfectly honest with you. I was honest with you about how I'd feel about Rodgers as a Giant.
Yeah.
This Viking thing would piss me off more than anything else. And I don't know why it should. Like, who cares about Brett Favre? But the Jets being in this Viking-Packer incestuous Favre-Rodgers sandwich pisses me off. And I know it sounds irrational. Like, who cares, Ev? It's the NFC. Who gives a damn? It annoys me to no end. I don't want Aaron Rodgers with the Vikings.
Mm.
Feels like I'm living a nightmare, if that's the case.
Right.
I don't want it. So we'll see what happens, but ugh. Now, anyhow, I want to read something to you, and I'm very curious, Teek, your opinion, Tommy's opinion. I'm not going to offer my opinion till the end. I have a very strong opinion about this, But I want to just give you the information, let it breathe, and I want to hear from you guys before I... Maybe I don't even have to tell you my opinion, because you guys may take care of it for me. I don't know. Stephon Bondi of the New York Post, with the headline, Why Mikal Bridges Asked Tom Thibodeau to Play Knicks Starters Fewer Minutes. Huh, that's some headline. Mikal Bridges asked Tom Thibodeau to back off a bit on the starters' minutes because the bench deserves more. Quote, sometimes it's not fun on the body, Bridges said. You'll want that as a coach, but also talk to him a little knowing that we've got a good enough team where our bench guys can come in and we don't need to play 48 minutes, 47 minutes. We got a lot of good guys on this team that can take away minutes, which helps the defense, helps the offense, helps tired bodies being out there and giving up all these points. It helps just keeping fresh bodies out there. Bridges said Thibodeau was receptive, but, quote, sometimes I think he just gets in his ways.
Mm.
I think he's not arguing about it. Sometimes I think he just gets in his ways and he gets locked in. He just wants to keep the guy out there, Bridges said. Sometimes you've got to tell him, like, hey, Landry Shamet, for example, somebody, get him out there. They're playing well. I think it's something you never really get used to concerning the workload. Your body is going to feel how it is every year, but I've been a part of it for a while now, knowing how to take care of my body through those situations and trying to do as much as I can. Your opinion on a prominent New York Knick doing sports talk radio now on WFAN by suggesting something many of us have suggested at times, and that is, hey, slow down on the minutes.
Good. It's about time. It's about time someone, as starter, said this to Tom Thibodeau. Now, I think that Josh Hart would never say this because Josh Hart is not afraid of the smoke, right? He wants all those minutes because he's capable of doing it. Now, he's been a little bit banged up this year, so it's a little bit different. But I think by and large, he's one of the most conditioned, best conditioned athletes in basketball.
Mm.
So he doesn't care. I think Jalen Brunson, same way, right? He just wants to be out there, be the guy, be the catalyst, the guy, the scorer for this Knicks team. He doesn't mind it at all. But the newer guys, talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, who's also had some injury stuff, talking about Mikal Bridges, who said this, right? I think those guys are not used to this. And I don't know if any other team in the NBA that does this to their starters. So if you haven't experienced it, it's hell. And I think that's what he's alluding to.
No ill will towards Mikal Bridges saying this.
No.
Okay.
Tommy, no. He's just expressing his truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges is 100% correct, especially at the timing of this, which I assume he told Tibbs this relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason, considering Jalen Brunson likely out for the rest of the regular season, and the Knicks likely to be the third, worst-case, fourth seed. There is no reason for Tibbs, especially on the heels of last season, where the Knicks lost to attrition, not to the Pacers, to grind the rest of this team into the ground. And I was screaming, and a lot of Knicks fans were, because there's some Knicks fans that get all high and mighty and they want to go after the minutes police. I was screaming for guys like Kolick, for Huck Porty earlier in the year for several reasons. Number one, you're going to gas these starters out, whether it be Anunoby, whether it be Bridges, even guys like Hart and Brunson. I'm not saying all the injuries this year or even last year had to do with minutes, but it definitely takes a toll on the body. And you look around the entire NBA, part of it is depth, but a lot of guys do take nights off and coaches implement stuff like rest days and all that. So number one, it gives your starters a chance to take a breath. And number two, it allows and it gives guys opportunities to see serious minutes, not at the end of the game like they're human victory cigars. So when you need them in the playoffs, you have a guy like Kolick, Huck Porty. I throw Campaign and Shamet in a different category because they're NBA players. They should have been getting minutes too because they're good. They're NBA players. So I think it serves both purposes. And I think there are times where Tibbs has to take the page out of a Tom Coughlin playbook. And it's not the military. You can give these guys a break here. Grinding these guys out for the next, 18 games does nothing.
Just for the record, Mikal Bridges leads the league in minutes played in totality. Josh Hart leads the league in minutes per game. He's played a couple of fewer games.
Right.
And also, Jalen Brunson, despite an injury, so his numbers will obviously change, is also towards the top of the league in minutes played. OG Anunoby is already playing more minutes than, like, basically he ever plays, based on the fact that he usually misses a lot of time. I think that Mikal Bridges showed a lot of stones here. I give him credit. I know you're going to think I'm not. I give him a lot of credit.
You think there's a mutiny?
I don't think
about
there's
to
a,
happen.
I don't think there's a mutiny, but I think Mikal Bridges, it takes some balls. I mean, I got to tell you, and I do admire it. It takes some balls to be traded for 5 first round picks. Okay?
That's irrelevant.
It's not to some Knicks fans. Not to all, but to some, it is not irrelevant. I tell them you should forget it, but to many, they won't.
Yeah, but it relative takes, to this, it's irrelevant.
It takes some stones for a guy who is traded for 5 first-round picks, now, who to most Knicks fans has been a roller coaster this year and has mostly been a disappointment. It takes some kind of stones for him to be the guy to stand up to Tom Thibodeau.
Well, no, but maybe nobody else would do it.
Why is that?
I don't know. But maybe no one else would do it.
But I admire...
But because Mikal Bridges was traded for 5 picks, he feels like he has the agency to do it.
Well, and that's where I will defend him. I think he does have the agency to do it because unlike most guys in this league, including his buddy Jalen Brunson and including Josh Hart, and I'm not going to pick on them because injuries happen, Mikal Bridges has played every bleeping game in his NBA career. He is the definition of an Iron Man.
Right.
If there's anybody in this league, look at me defending him. If there's anybody in this league who has the authority to talk about minutes and games and what it can do to one's body, it's him.
Right.
So I admire that he didn't care that there will be a backlash. He may not get a backlash from Utique or a backlash from Tommy, but there's going to be a backlash from Knicks fans. Tommy, at least confirm that part.
Yes.
There will be.
I believe it's the right message, but I could see where a lot of people will say it's the wrong messenger.
What's the argument for the Knicks fan? Like, why is the Knicks fan?
Who the hell are you? You've sucked this year. You've been a roller coaster ride. We gave up a million picks for you.
Well,
I don't need to hear it from you.
He's the one to tell the coach the truth.
Which I admire.
Right. Sometimes coaches need to be told about themselves as well. I think too often we put so much faith into the coach and what the coach says is going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. You got to all be in or it's not going to work. But if you're egregiously on the edge of what's prudent, you got to be told about yourself.
Totally agree.
And if you don't do that, there's never harmony.
Mm.
There's just guys griping behind the scenes and that's a cancer. Right? That's not what you want. Like, I hear it gets overused a lot, and people say, oh, this guy's a cancer. But when you're talking nonsense behind the back of whoever, whether it's another player or whether it's a coach, it's cancerous because it starts to slowly spread. And all it takes is one guy who didn't necessarily listen or believe what you were saying starts, you might be right. He's right. And then he starts talking trash. And so all of a sudden, what started as this little gripe becomes this massive tumor, and it kills you, right? And I'm not being insensitive, but this is the reality of what happens to sports teams when things like this aren't put in the forefront of the guy who needs to make the decision. So I know coaches feel like they don't need to hear it. Sometimes they need to hear it.
I agree with you. Just remember, there are two things on this, and I want to separate it. I think Mikal Bridges said the right thing. And I think he's got more authority to talk about this subject than anybody else in this sport.
Right.
Because no matter what you say about him, he has been an Iron Man, and he's leading the league in minutes per game. So I agree with you. The second part is, fans, like me, like Tommy, like Sean, were freaking idiots sometimes. We are.
They should welcome this.
I think some will say,
you? It'll make them better.
I agree, but this is maybe not the guy to hear it from.
Well, who else is going to do it?
Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby.
Josh Hart's not going to do it. I just told you before we started this conversation.
I'm just saying that's what Knicks fans would want to hear. They're not going to want to hear it from this guy.
But Josh is not going to do it, right?
Jalen Brunson
is not going to do it.
Why is the captain?
But he's not. He hasn't done it.
I get that. But do you not see why Knicks fans? You don't see why Knicks fans who put this guy under the microscope is not going to like hearing it from him? You got to see why that would be the case.
I mean, I would appreciate that I heard it from him.
Because of what I said about his track record?
Yes.
Absolutely. I agree. I just think that he's going to get backlash. I'm not making this up. Am I making this up?
He's going to get backlash, but the backlash to me, if you give him backlash, you're wrong. You're just being irrational because it's the right message. It is. And Teak has nailed it. JV's not going to say anything. Josh Hart's not going to say anything. Let's just say you're in an industry where there's no union, and everybody goes, we grind, we do it, we're not, but we don't need a union. And one guy stands up one day and goes, no, there's some BS going on right now. We should unionize. A lot of people are going to say, who the heck is that person to say something? Well, guess what? 10, 15, 20 years from now, people are going to go, I'm glad they stood up and say something. We talk about Scott Hall and Kevin Nash all the time. Wrestlers are making more money because of those two gentlemen. Sometimes you need somebody to stand up and say, we need to be paid more or we need less minutes because they're running these guys into the ground. So I understand you want to get on Mikel, and there's some Knicks fans are going to go, whatever, but he's saying the right message. They're the three seed. They don't need to be playing more minutes. They just don't.
That was on the verge of being his most powerful message until he made a wrestling reference.
Well, I'm just trying to give a reference that I could think of with that.
He's talking about a union message. He's right, by the way. Same thing happened in the NFL, by the way.
Yeah. I think there's two other parts to this. Number one, we've asked this question, I think, twice on the show already. Is this what's been bothering Mikal Bridges all year? Why has he been hesitant with everything? Is he feeling worn down? Is he feeling like maybe he's not being heard in that locker room where he's expressed this and now finally he's going public with it?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, do you think he actually has brought this to Brunson and Hart's attention?
I don't think this is a he's feeling it moment. I think this is a this needed to be said moment.
Well, I think of all people that feel playing 37 minutes a night, it's the guy who plays every single game.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not knocking Jalen Brunson. He's genuinely hurt. He's not playing right now. He hasn't played every game in his NBA career. Same thing with OG Anunoby, who's missed a ton of time in his NBA career. Same thing with Karl-Anthony Towns. Give Mikal Bridges credit, and I've always given him credit for this. The guy goes out and plays.
Mm-hmm.
He plays at an incredible pace. So I think he understands it more than others. I'm just merely telling you that this is a guy, much like Kat, who's under a microscope.
Right.
They're new around here. The Knicks gave up a lot to get him. And his play in his first year as a Knick has been average to subpar. It has. His defense hasn't been as advertised. We've talked about it. That's not new information. So for that guy, and I admire him for having the balls because I think he's going to face a lot of backlash. I think a lot of Knick fans are going to say, who the hell are you, bro? Why don't you fight through a screen tough guy? Why haven't you been the defender we thought you were? Why haven't you been the guy we thought we were getting from Brooklyn and even before that in Phoenix?
That's not important. That's not what he's talking about.
I know, but that's how some Knicks fans are going to hear it.
Right?
Fair or not?
But that's you're talking about the wrong point. Right?
That's one of the aspects of this. Absolutely is.
That's like pitching with your wife about something that's completely unrelated to what you were talking about.
You don't think Knicks fans are going to react that way?
I don't care if they react that way. I'm telling you, they're wrong if they react that way. Because that's not what he's saying. He's saying these minutes are going to destroy us.
What he's saying, he's right about.
100%.
But him being the messenger is going to get backlash.
So engage him at what he's talking about, not what you want to bitch at him about.
But that's a part of sports. It's as unfair as it is, man.
Right. We look at a team like the Celtics, the Thunder, the Cavs. They're great for several reasons, but one of them is their depth. And you hear it all year that the Knicks don't have any depth. That's not true.
Yeah.
They have depth. The head coach is not willing play.
They don't have depth, and he's not willing to explore that depth. Like, Ariel Helwani, we can't put over as some kind of god right now. Landry Shamet stinks.
I don't care what Mikal Bridges thinks.
Those guys are not that good, and Tom Thibodeau's attitude, which I think he's wrong about, is I need to win game. I'm not going to spread that out. But to act like the Knicks have some great bench, give me a freaking break.
Hold on a second. If you look at some of these teams like the Celtics or the Thunder, yeah, they have their star players.
Their benches are better than the Knicks bench.
Yeah,
bench is pathetic.
But Huck, Porty, and Kolek, you could develop. He just was unwilling to do that.
Okay, stop right there. I agree. They should get more time to develop.
Right.
But let's not act like, oh, they've got a great bench. What are you talking about?
No. I'm not saying they have a great bench, but he is unwilling to go to that bench to develop them, to put them in spots. And I've seen in a lot of games where they actually give Campaign and Shamet minutes. I remember a couple years ago, the year they got lost to Miami, their bench sometimes gave them better minutes than the starters. You got
different
at some
team.
Point, I know, but what made them different?
They were given opportunities. They had a deeper bench. That's why.
But you could develop your bench. You could look and go, obviously, Sims, it didn't work out, but you could have looked towards other guys on
when
that bench
given
and
certain,
given them minutes.
When he gives certain guys opportunities and they're not good for 2 minutes at a time, he doesn't wait. He pulls them.
Right.
And I think a part of that is the double-edged sort of trying to win games, but while doing so, he ends up playing his starters way too many minutes. I mean, OG Anunoby the other night in the game they blew out the Kings on played 37 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that even happen when you're blowing a team out? It's crazy. Now, let's get to some of your calls. Knicks on the table. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers waiting game continues at 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. How are you, Ray?
Gentlemen, I'm great. Good afternoon. Listen, I wholeheartedly disagree. I am one that likes to defund the minutes police. But listen, you have to add context when you're talking about serious Tiki. You have to add context because I understand that the Knicks do have guys that are up there in total minutes play. But you, the context is a lot of these other bums, we can't have it both ways. The league and the fans and everybody cries about guys don't play every day. That's the reason why a lot of the Knicks are up there in total minutes, because they play every damn day, unlike the other guys around the league. They embrace it. So you have to add that into the context of total minutes as well. And then we can't, like I said, you know, we can't have it both ways. You got people, same people, screaming about, oh, the stars don't play enough. You know, they should give us a refund because when I go, they don't play. The Knicks do. And then when they do, we kill them. So I just don't understand the double standard. It makes no sense. And with the Yankees, right? When Aaron Boone was giving Stanton and Judge and guys things off, we killed him. Then last year, we started saying he wore some guys down.
No, Ray, you're right about that. We did say, what do they need another day off for? They just had, you know, a Saturday off or whatever that
could
be.
The answer to that, though, is there needs to be a balance. And one thing I do want to address at the top is forget total minutes then, okay? I only bring up total minutes with OG because OG Anunoby hasn't played full seasons a lot.
Yeah.
So when he's playing 36 and a half minutes per game and he's barely missed any games, his totality in minutes is an enormous number compared to other years of his career. Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart are tied for the league lead in minutes per game. Forget total minutes. In minutes per game. They're both playing 37.8 minutes per game. So we're not taking numbers and manipulating it.
Right.
Those guys play an awful lot.
Right. When they're playing a lot.
Let's go to Josh in Poughkeepsie. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, fellas? The only thing, I agree with you guys that it's okay that he said it. I just can't wrap my mind around why you would not just go to the coach, speak your mind, and then not let it get out to the media.
Yeah, great question. That's the one thing. I don't know how this got out to the media.
Well, he is interviewed by Stephon Bondi and is publicly commenting about this.
Right.
So obviously this isn't one sneak attack. Bondi asked him about it. Mikal was honest about it.
How did Bondi know to ask him about it? That's the question.
I don't know, but walk me through why you think Mikal Bridges would be open to talking about this publicly.
Because he understands that he's like he wants this message out there.
Bingo. That's what I'm thinking, right?
Right, of course. I mean, but I also don't understand why he wants the message out.
Is it possible? Let me ask you this. Was there ever a time where you knew I can't get my message to Fossil or Coughlin out unless I do it publicly? I got to make this a public
issue.
Without
a doubt.
So that's it. He's gone
without
to Thibodeau. Thibodeau's ignoring him. I'm going to make this a public conversation.
Mm.
I'll put pressure on him.
Right.
May not work, by the way. Because Tom Thibodeau's going to be screw you.
Here's the thing. Knicks fans have been screaming and bitching about this forever.
Right.
It's not like this is new. This is not a new conversation for Knicks fans.
It's only new because it's coming from an active player.
Well, it's only new because it's coming from a player who told the coach that this was the issue.
Right.
So, I mean, that's also likely happened before, and it's just nothing's ever come of it.
Right, or it's just, like you said, never been public. I mean, Mikal Bridges may as well have called WFAN and been Mikal from Brooklyn.
Right.
How you doing, Mikal? Hey, guys, just want to rip Tom Thibodeau. He's playing guys way too many minutes, especially Bridges, and it's probably why he's struggling to fight off screens. I'll take your answer off air. Thanks. And we wouldn't have known the difference. We'd have been like, all right, thanks for the call, Mikal. Yeah, then we would have looked at each other and said, wait a second.
Mikal Bridges. P.S. The Nets suck. The other thing, too, if you're Bridges or Cat, I'm just going to use those guys for example. If they have been grinded into the ground here, and let's say we get to the playoffs, all right, first round, they beat the Pistons, they just have better players, they steamroll them, and then they play the Celtics, and the Celtics just absolutely steamroll the Knicks. What are Knicks fans and non-Knicks fans going to say? Cat's soft, Bridges is soft.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say we want to play every single minute, we want our players to play every game, every single minute, and then when they get to the playoffs and they're so friggin' tired that they get absolutely bamboozled, and then you go, well, these guys are soft. You don't think Mikal Bridges has heard stuff like that, or Cat hasn't heard? Cat, for sure, we know that with Barkley and with Shaq. So they're also looking out for that, too. You know what I mean? Like,
I have no idea what you meant by that.
I'm saying is that I believe in a lot of ways the performance here defensively, especially going forward here, is impacted by the amount of minutes they're playing.
Well, that's what Bridges is saying, yeah.
So if Bridges doesn't play good defense come playoff time, people are going to say, they gave up too much, he's soft, he can't play defense, I don't want him on the team anymore.
Mm-hmm. So but the reality is that they're worn out because they've been playing so many minutes. That's what Tommy's saying.
And nobody wants to... It sucks when you're a teammate with Josh Hart, because I've said this before. I think the Knicks have either cloned him or he is the most well-conditioned athlete in the history of the world.
The only thing I'll push back on is the Knicks defense has been an issue all year long. So it, long before they were tired based on the amount of minutes Tom Thibodeau's thrown at them, they've been a mediocre to bad defensive team all season long. It's not like it's a new thing that just started as they're wearing down. So at least when we talk about it, I wouldn't use it as an excuse because they've been bad defensively all year. In fact, they were worse a few months ago.
No,
so
but I
don't
just,
know
I would,
if I would equate the minutes to that.
But I would trust the player, especially a guy who plays every single game, that he would be able to identify, hey, this is too many minutes. This could impact us in the playoffs going forward. I'm just saying, fans, they want both ways. And I get it with the dudes and the dogs. Totally understand that. But I scream for more guys to get more opportunities because I think it will help the Knicks in the long run.
It is kind of funny to hear Bridges say, our bench is good, you guys deserve minutes.
Right. Come on, Mikal.
Well, the first thing he said was, it gets tiring. Right. Like, it's not about that. It's about the fact that you're playing too many minutes, and that's okay.
But you do have to have a bench.
Yes.
Like, you have to, because as soon as someone gets hurt and is not able to play 37 to 45 minutes in a game, who's playing?
No, you're right. Like, look at the case right now. Deuce is stepping up, but who's taking the Deuce role?
Exactly.
So it's not just Deuce replacing Jalen. What's up, boys?
Hopefully they don't drop him. Hopefully Aaron Judge is not involved in that.
I see what you guys did there. We'll come back with a Cinco de 5-0. I didn't do anything. I'm talking hoop, that's all. We'll come back with a Cinco de 5-0, plus more of your calls. Aaron Rodgers, Mikal Bridges is now head policeman of the Minutes Police. Who knew he was going to take on that role? We're going to start calling him Sheriff Bridges.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.